Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
Oh, hello. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Before we get the show started, we have a couple things that we want to share with you. First, about 2 months ago, we started to allow you to leave a question for us on our website. And the intention, very soon, we're going to start answering those right on this podcast. You're going to be super famous if you're leaving your questions on there. If you have any questions about nutrition, lifestyle, personal development, relationships, and you want us to answer them on the show, please go to workingagainstgravity.com/podcast, scroll down to the start recording button, and leave us a brief question. Make sure that you're in a quiet place, ideally. State your name, where you're from, and then clearly articulate your question.
Got it.
Next, a lot of people have told us that listeners of the show may have no idea what we even do because we kind of just go right into whatever our topic is without discussing what WAG is. So what is WAG, Adi?
A WAG is an acronym for Working Against Gravity. It's an online nutrition coaching company that helps you find a nutrition program that you can actually stick to. So whether you have goals of having a better relationship with food, losing body fat, getting leaner, building muscle mass, improving your performance, whatever it is, or just, you know, building better habits around food, we pair you with a coach who works with you one-on-one to help you achieve those goals while also enjoying your life at the same time.
And if you're someone that wants to learn more about the science of nutrition and the art of coaching, whether you just want to learn more for yourself or you want to help others, you may want to start an online nutrition business yourself. We also sell our coach certification program, which is a 5-phase course ranging from basic fundamentals of nutrition, going into setting and changing macronutrient profiles. We go into the psychology of eating, how to actually do check-ins with people, and everything in between.
Cool.
And you can get access to all of that, learn more at workingagainstgravity.com.
Awesome.
Let's get into this episode.
Okay.
So
today's a good one.
So we just got back from a long trip in Europe, and Adi absolutely crushed her nutrition.
There was like an extended pause there. Like, I'm like, what is he about to say?
Adi, absolutely, you crushed your nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just such a great example of what we teach at WAG, which is we're trying to help people find a diet that works for them in the harshest of circumstances, rather than just when they are in their little bubble at home, they're eating at home all the time, and they don't have any challenging circumstances. Travel is one of, if not the most challenging thing for people in their nutrition. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of travel, and you just absolutely crushed it.
Yeah.
You went into it pretty lean for you, like, I mean, which is very lean for the average human being.
Yeah.
Just feeling great.
Yep.
And you wanted to maintain that the entire trip. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to the end of the trip, you weighed exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And what was most impressive is that you did that without depriving yourself of any of the delicious foods that you had never had. You know, we were in...
Or any experiences.
Any experiences. Mm-hmm. You were able to have some, but not all. And you were able to maintain this confidence and this integrity in yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to dive into that.
And sometimes I did have all. It's just there was more intention behind all of it.
Mm-hmm. Let's start out here. What was your... How did you prepare internally and externally? Like, what did you, how did you prepare your mind and how did you prepare your environment going into the trip?
Yeah. I think like one important distinction to make as we dive into this is that when we say we traveled in Europe for a long time, we're talking about 8 weeks. So when I've been thinking about this, like, why was I so successful on this particular trip? Because I am of that category of people that really struggles when they travel. So this is not... The way that I behaved on this particular trip was actually improved from every other trip I've taken in the past. So I'm even like a little bit proud of myself in this scenario. And I've been reflecting on it, trying to discover what it is that I really did differently so that I can impart that knowledge to others on this podcast. And one of the things was in past trips, the longest trip that we've ever taken was probably 10 days, maybe 14 days. Going for 14 days versus 8 weeks kind of put this like mental shift in my head. And we also had the intention of trying to get the understanding of what it feels like to live in another place. And that distinction for me already started having an internal shift of, if we're going to be like living in another place, then I want to do something, which I actually got from a friend, Sebastian Knight. He talked about packing your identity with you when you travel. And I thought about that. Like, what does that mean, pack your identity with you? Well, I am somebody who feels best when I prioritize my health, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. And I want to pack that version of me to come with on the trip. So I thought about what would that look like. I asked myself before the trip. And when I say ask myself, I journaled about it. I also talked to you about it. I talked to my nutrition coach about it. I talked to my friends. I talked to everybody who had been to Europe in the past. I was having a lot of conversations around what are my options for fitness, where I'm going, where am I staying, and how accessible are those fitness options to where I'm staying? What types of foods are available there? What types of foods are native to the place that I'm staying that I'm going to want to indulge in and not want to restrict myself? Is there anything like that? Can I cook my own food? Will I want to cook my own food? How long are we staying there? I was asking myself a lot of these types of questions and then brainstorming out loud, knowing that fitness and nutrition was going to be a priority for me when we got there. Mm-hmm. So that helped me ahead of time think about things a little differently, because I knew that if I behaved like I have in the past, where it was more like land, fitness and nutrition is something it could be like, oh, I'll get to it at one point. But it wasn't like the first thing I was thinking about. It wasn't one of the actions I took in the first 24 hours. I was more excited to eat something delicious, eat something indulgent, or sleep in because I was tired from the travel. And that kind of creates like an inertia where you're in this like hole that you now have to dig yourself out of, where it's comfortable to sleep in and it feels good to eat really delicious food. And you think that's what you want to do on vacation, but I knew for 8 weeks that was going to feel really, really bad. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I needed to rein it back in, because, you know, 10 days you can feel like crap, but then you come back, you know, and you can reset, versus 8 weeks is just, you could ruin your whole trip. Mm-hmm. So it really created a shift for me of planning things more concretely and also prioritizing nutrition and fitness as within the first 24 hours of getting somewhere versus waiting on it and doing that ahead of entertainment, fun, and travel experiences. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that actually made the experiences of travel and food and everything else better.
100%. And it only takes an hour and a half out of your day, but it sets you off on the right path.
Exactly. So the first thing that we did when we got to Barcelona was we hit up a gym on the first day. So the first day we hit up a gym and the first meal we ate there was not an indulgent meal. It was a meal that was super similar to something that we would eat at home. I think we went for breakfast and we ate just like almost the exact same breakfast that we would have eaten at home. And we went to a gym. So that already got like almost a little bit of stress or worry off my plate of like, I'm going to be able to do this when I'm here. I had this like confidence in myself. And then moving forwards, it was a lot easier to actually be present and enjoy the other things. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't feeling like that sluggishness, or, you know, I had gotten a lot of that energy out of the way. Mm-hmm.
So I could hear people listening to this or imagine them thinking, okay, I get that works for 8 weeks, but my vacation is only 7 days. How do mm-hmm. they, like, I want them to pay attention to the rest of this podcast. Why should they do so? And why is this relevant to them?
When the only thing that was different is that it triggered me to think differently because it was 8 weeks, mm-hmm. but it also helped me feel that this is something that I should do no matter when I'm traveling. Mm-hmm. But in my past travels, I didn't actually feel the difference because I wasn't operating with the same mindset. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, I thought I had these stories in my head. The stories in my head were, I want to enjoy the food that I'm eating. I'm on vacation. I may never eat this food again. Or I don't want to feel restricted. I am like, I work really hard all year long. I don't want to feel restricted. Or I don't want to work out. I'm tired. And, you know, I have jet lag. And it's just inconvenient to find a gym. Like, those are the stories. Mm-hmm. And then when I actually prioritized my nutrition and fitness, the same exact story has changed. It was, I got to enjoy the food and experiences more because I didn't have the guilt and stress that came with it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to feel restricted because when I work out and I prioritize nutrition and fitness, I actually have more mental energy to make better choices. And I also have more space to be present with the food and just stop when I've felt like I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. You know, like I had more space for that. And I still didn't feel restricted at all. And then I also was less tired because I worked out, and that helped me get a better night's sleep the first night, and it helped me recover faster from the jet lag. So the same original stories can sometimes lead you in the direction of, well, then I shouldn't have to be disciplined at all. And that's what I actually – that's what I thought I wanted. I wanted to be like completely free and completely undisciplined and completely indulging in everything. But it's not what – I really wanted deep down, but I couldn't actually learn that lesson until I implemented those actions.
Right.
And this trip just triggered me to do that, but I'm regretful that I haven't done that in every single other trip that I've done. Mm-hmm. Like whether it's 3 days, 2 days, 7 days, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Within the first 10 hours of the trip, I want to take at least one action that prioritizes my nutrition and my fitness ahead of everything else that I am doing there. Mm-hmm. And that can look in a million different kinds of ways. It could look like going for a 10-minute walk or getting 10,000 steps in the day or going to a grocery store or eating a meal at a restaurant that's super similar to what you would eat at home and not giving in to the urge to eat something super fancy or crazy because you're on vacation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we think we want complete freedom.
We don't.
But what comes to mind for me is that quote, discipline equals freedom, right? We need certain guardrails so that when we have the freedom, we can actually be present in it. If we have complete freedom, we start to feel sloppy like really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we need some of those guardrails.
Yeah.
So what was your exact strategy for like how you wanted to behave day by day?
So my exact like tangible tactical strategies that I chose for me, and I think this would be different for every single person. It's very relevant to where I'm at in my nutrition journey, my fitness journey right now. And I've worked with my coach to like identify what were the best strategies for me. My intention was just for this trip to be better than past trips and for me to be more similar to how I am at home. But the actual tactical strategies were I was going to, when we were staying in an Airbnb, this does not include when we were at a hotel. When we were at a hotel, it was different. When we were at an Airbnb, we cooked a minimum of one meal a day. And that meant that was generally breakfast for a couple reasons. One, breakfast is really easy to cook. And two, I think my breakfast is better than most breakfasts at most restaurants. So both of us really enjoy my breakfast. So that was just an easy thing to do.
Most of your meals are better than restaurants.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. The other tactical strategy was to try and like we walked anything that was within 35 minutes. We decided to walk versus taking an Uber or some type of transportation that was not as active. Like sometimes we rode bikes a lot and we walked a lot. So that not only helped like with fitness, of course, it also helped with getting a really cool experience of being in new cities and being able to experience the cities. So we walked a lot. And then I also, when I was actually eating, I focused on two things. One was being genuinely present with my food. So that meant I wasn't trying to get full on things that were very calorie dense. So I would, the reason I'm eating something that is indulgent like that is to get the experience of it, to taste it, to feel the textures, to eat something I've never eaten before, not to just have the flavor in my mouth for as long as possible. It's really just to appreciate it. So that really helped me. I also had to just like get those plates off the table when I was done eating them because I'm definitely someone who will pick at it until it's completely gone. Mm-hmm. So when I was done, I got it out of my way. And then I also ate less than you. So,
not always the safest metric, but
I mean, you're bigger than me. You definitely need to eat more calories than me. So using that as a guide for myself, especially when you go to restaurants and we often share, mm-hmm. right? So the servers are not giving you more than me.
Right.
But you should
quality of nutrition.
Right. But also it's like we're getting the same serving sizes mm-hmm. and in general, you should be eating more than me. So I would just like give you some of
this is literally one of my favorite parts of our relationship.
So I would eat like 75% of my meal and then I would give the other 25% to Michael. And I kind of knew that if I was eating less than you, I was not overeating.
You're not going to get fatter than me. Did you mention intermittent fasting?
Oh, no. But we did do intermittent fasting as well. So we would wake up in the morning. We wouldn't have anything other than a cappuccino, which I guess goes against the rules of intermittent fasting. But we would have a cappuccino and we wouldn't have a real meal until around 12.
I did most of the things that we're talking about, but I was way less consistent. And so that's why we're highlighting a D, just absolutely crushing it. I also had a travel PR for sure. I came back the same weight, which is a huge win for me.
Yes.
But yeah, you were way more consistent on a lot of these things. So we ate at least one meal per day at home, mm-hmm. and we were only eating two meals a day.
Right.
The other meal, a lot of times, was eating out somewhere. Mm-hmm. What was your strategy when you ate out?
One was just eat less than you, mm-hmm. and the other one was be present. And honestly, that was the only two things that I implemented when we were eating out at restaurants. And I think that if you would have asked me to do that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it might have been a little bit more difficult for me. And I might have implemented different strategies for somebody who's like still really struggling with eating out at restaurants. But right now, slowing down and being present allowed me to just be like, we would have, let's say, what's something delicious that we ate? Like an eclair. We had an eclair in Paris and I would have a couple bites of the eclair and it's so rich and dense. And normally I can eat it. There's not even like, I'm going to have 75% and give you 25%. Zero chance of that happening.
It is funny. Like she'll give me a large portion of every single food she eats. But when it comes to sweets, 50-50 down
exactly.
the line.
Exactly. So in this trip, though, I was often able to really just appreciate what I was eating and then not have to feel like I needed to finish it. And so I would just finish eating it and then either you would have it or we would just get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And that was totally okay. So I think it's a little bit up in the clouds to say be present with your food. But I genuinely would just, you and I, we have this little ritual where we hold hands and we take three deep breaths before we have a meal. And I think that really helped me get present. It like slowed me down. It calmed me down a little bit. And I was able to really think about what does my food taste like? What's the texture? What is this and why is it special? And talk about it with you instead of feeling like I needed to just be head down, quiet, just mowing down my food, you know?
Trying to get to the end of
it. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. So what was the most challenging part of the trip for you related to fitness and nutrition?
Yeah. For 8 weeks, I felt like 7 of the 8 weeks, I was like really solid. I felt really good. We were working out. We were walking to a gym. We were walking all day. And I felt like I was eating lots of vegetables and I was prioritizing really healthy whole foods. And the hardest part was when we got to the 8th week, there was this little voice in my head that had this scarcity mindset of, it's the last week, we're going home after this, like we got to squeeze everything that we're supposed to squeeze out of this vacation. And I almost regressed a little bit. And we went to a weekend in Paris, which was in like, it was also in an Airbnb, but we weren't going to be cooking while we were there. We were going to be eating all of our meals out. And I had like consciously decided, I'm going to wake up in the morning and have a pastry first thing in the morning with my coffee. And that's how I'm going to start my day. And it just kind of spiraled me a little bit. And that was really challenging. We weren't going to a gym there. It was really challenging for me to have started that and then reel myself back in. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely the most challenging of the when getting to the end of, you know, there's only so much left. Mm-hmm. Like what are we going to look back on and regret? And now looking back on it, I wish I had more ability to in the moment be like, no, this doesn't make me feel better. It right. actually makes me feel worse.
Right.
So that's just something I can work on for next time.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest takeaways for me and for us is that we want to treat any amount of vacation or travel like we treated the first 7 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Because even if it's only 3 or 5 days where there is a very finite amount of time, very short amount of time to enjoy whatever foods are in that area, we know from our experience that we just enjoy ourselves so much more if we're really taking care of ourselves and, yes, and having some but not all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then that challenge also triggered us to be really more conscious when we were coming home, because I think coming home can be another challenge. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I'm coming home. There's the jet lag on the way home. Then there's that like weird awkwardness of getting resettled, where maybe you have extra work to do when you've been away, or you have a bunch of mail to take care of, or you have to unpack. Like there's a lot of things that are unsettled. And in that scenario too, it's also very easy to not prioritize your nutrition and fitness. So we were very conscious on the way home to the first thing we did the first morning that we woke up at home was we got to the garage and did a workout. And starting off the same way on the way home, it felt really good. And it made it a lot easier to get back into the swing of things.
I rarely say this, but we're beasts. We immediately unpacked and opened all of our mail and we were done with it. It was the best feeling ever.
Such a good feeling.
So is there anything else that you would have, that you would change knowing what you know now?
I would have gone to a gym in Paris. I think that would have helped for sure.
Or just done some exercise in the room would have been sufficient probably.
Yeah, because we also didn't walk as much in Paris. It was just a bigger place. We did walk a good bit, but not as much. And just remembering that the scarcity, like you don't have to squeeze every last drop out of the experience in terms of food. It actually makes the experience less valuable. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like going to a party and drinking too much and ending up throwing up. It ruins your night. Mm-hmm. Like nobody wants to get so drunk that they throw up. It's just terrible. Mm-hmm. You want to drink and like feel loose and enjoy and be social. And the second you cross that line, it kind of ruins the whole thing. I feel like that is exactly like that.
It's a great analogy.
Where it's just like having a couple drinks is great, or having a couple sweets, or having, you know, one or two things here and there, like very selectively, you can really appreciate the evening. And then once you take it too far, it's just all you're thinking about is how bloated you feel, or how guilty you feel, or how you can't sleep because you feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. That, and that's taking over the experience. Same thing with like throwing up at a party. It just sucks.
One thing that you do really intuitively now that I think you skipped over, but is really valuable for people, is when you're going to indulge, plan it out beforehand. Mm-hmm. And if possible, verbalize that to someone else so you're held accountable. While you're clear-minded and you don't have like sugar in your mouth and you're not like foaming out of the mouth, mm-hmm, decide what you're going to have and then just commit to that and no more.
Yes, definitely.
I think you just naturally do that now.
Maybe now.
Yeah.
Definitely. It took me a long time to get there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a great episode. Is there anything else, any other words of wisdom or pieces of advice that you have for people that are traveling that you might not have mentioned?
I think that the biggest game changer on this particular trip was packing your identity with you, which means whatever makes you feel your best at home, bring as much of that as possible with you. And maybe it looks a little bit different when you get there, but just as much of that energy or vibe or consistency with you when you're there, and prioritize that before the entertainment and the indulging. And then once you at least take one action in that direction within the first 24 hours, you have confidence in yourself. You're filled with like, your momentum is moving in the positive direction versus sleeping in, eating a really indulgent, calorie-dense meal, and then you're kind of digging yourself out of a hole, which is a lot harder to do. So that was definitely the biggest game changer. I cannot stress that enough. I think I can do that in more areas of my life than just travel. Mm-hmm. Like I think I can do that when going to a function, or when going, like the first thing I do when I go to a function could be maybe to get like a calorie-free drink, not an alcoholic drink, and have that in my hand and then decide, you know, if I want to have alcohol later, something
well, you
like
gotta,
that.
Or just punch the toughest looking girl in the place so then everyone respects you.
No.
What's that off of? The new guy. Okay. I digress. This is great.
The other really big piece of advice is know that the goal is not to be absolutely perfect when you're traveling. The goal is to be slightly better than you were last travel time. So if you, the last time you traveled, you just like completely sent it and you just ate your face off and you felt terrible coming back and you gained 5 pounds. If you do slightly better than that next time you travel, that's winning. Mm-hmm. And this has taken me a tremendous amount of time and discipline and energy and hard work because I am a previous fat kid who has really struggled with food in the past. And it's been a long time coming for me to come back from a trip like this feeling confident in how I behaved, mm-hmm. especially not having a goal like a competition or something really concrete to head towards. So really just have some compassion for yourself and maybe it's just move for 10 minutes a day and that's better than what you would have done in the past. Anything better than what you did before is winning.
Love it. Thanks for joining, guys. Enjoy your day.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.